Thank you, guys. I'll spare Nathan with my Zach Brown joke that I used in the service. See what I did there? I still used it, but I didn't really use it. No. Put a toboggan on a guy with a beard, you know, Zach Brown. I'm excited about this morning. It's good to see everybody, by the way. And excited because we're starting a new series today called The One Another's. And as we go through Scripture, we see all kinds of instances of God speaking about one another's, you know, how we're supposed to treat one another, you know, all this kind of stuff. And as we see all that, we've tried to narrow down to a group of these that I felt like would be beneficial for us to go through as a church. And today we're starting that. And so today's kind of an intro, but we're really talking about like the king of the one another's today, okay? So this is kind of the one that the rest of these things are kind of based off of and kind of flow out of, if you will, even. Anyway, we'll be doing that. Let me make mention of this while I'm thinking about it. Our friend Alexis London is going to be speaking Saturday night at this little deal. If you see one of those like out there on the door or whatever, it's a little gathering with some bands and stuff. Looks like a deal where, you know, you can go and mosh maybe or something. I don't know. No, it actually looks like my kind of deal. And this is in Shelbyville. This is this coming Saturday. So February the 22nd. I can't keep up with dates, but it's February 22nd. She's going to go on sometime around 7, they think. But she'll be speaking sometime between a couple of the bands. So if you get a chance, you got nothing else going on Saturday night, maybe you can travel out and do that and do a little moshing while you're at it. We'll headbang it if nothing else, right? Man, you have an amazing, I got to say this, it's like my mind is in a million different directions most of the time, if you don't know. Like one of our guys here, he follows a whole lot of bands. He actually took pictures of all of his band shirts this week and posted them on Facebook. How many is it, 73? 73 different band shirts. That was amazing. That was absolutely amazing. How many of them Metallica? Almost 20 of them. See, I knew you would actually know. You know, that's the awesome part of that, so... They could all be. It could be 73 Metallica shirts, and it would still be great. But anyway, I digress. Let's do this. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and we're going to have an usher bring you a Bible. Let's do this. We're gonna go to the book of John today, and we're going to be bouncing around a little bit in some Scripture this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you, if you forgot it, you don't own one, throw your hand up. Let us get you one. If you don't own one, we want to give it to you. Let it be a present. And you can keep it. We want you to have a Bible. We want you to have a copy of God's Word. That is important for your life. And we want you to be able to do that. So, John 13 is where we're going to be starting that if you want to go ahead and go to it. But in talking and thinking about the one another's this morning, you know, one of the things that I think is important for us is to ask questions that help us to find out, gauge where we are personally with something like love one another. And for instance, this morning, you know, for us to ask the question, who do we love? Okay? Now, if I ask that question immediately, you have like some people pop in your head. Some of you like automatically want to, like, you want to like bust out and tell everybody in the room who you love because you have this undying, you know, I want everybody to know, please don't do that for us. We're okay without that. You know, I'm glad that you love them that much. But, you know, we have people that we love. If I ask you, who do you love? You immediately start thinking of like there's certain people in your mind that you think, I love these people, whatever. Now, just in all fairness, I'll have to ask the other question. And the other question is, of course, who do you not love? Now, some of you immediately thought of the same person you just thought of a second ago, right? Don't do that, okay? No, and some of you are going, what are you talking about? I love everybody. I just love everybody. I'm good at loving people, all right? You know, and I'm just going to tell you, there's somebody you don't love probably right now because you're a sinner and you need Jesus, okay? And I'm the same way, all right? There's just moments of people that are harder to love sometimes, okay? But Jesus has called us to love one another. We're going to study on that. We're going to talk about that today. Let's go ahead and look at John 13, verse 34. It says this. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Did he make it clear? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is a strong couple of verses right here. Let's go back and kind of look at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So we have this understanding right here that Jesus is obviously saying, he's saying love one another, and he's saying love one another just as I have loved you. Now, I actually had one of the ladies after the first service came to me, and she said one of the things that has always helped her when she has thought about, or had, let's say, had to deal with somebody that's really tough to deal with, somebody that she's not wanting to love in the moment, so to speak, you know, is that she's always remembered and always kind of preached to herself, if you will, is that Jesus loved us on the cross like we never sinned against him. Think about that for just a second. Jesus loved us on the cross like we never sinned against him. I mean, think about that. I mean, think about I might love you, but I'm still remember what you did to me, you know? I mean, that's the way we work, right? That's the way we're like, I'm keeping a record. I know it says not to, but I am, you know, you're not going to burn me again, you know, with my love, you know. So, you know, but I think for us just to recognize the level of love that Christ had for us is so huge. And I'm just going to tell you, I know that some of you in here, you're sitting here thinking, you're like, you know, I've got this whole love one another thing down pat. I don't need to hear this today. We could probably go ahead and jet and go ahead and beat everybody to the chips and salsa. And I'm just telling you, some of this is going to blow your mind today, okay? Some of this you've not ever thought about the way that we're talking about it today, where Scripture teaches it. You also are to love one another, it says, just as I have loved you. Verse 35 says this. It says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let me ask you a question. What do you think that you're known for? Maybe a better question is this. What do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known for? You want to be known for the title that you get to have? Or do you want to be known for accolades, things you've accomplished? Do you want to be known for things that, whatever. What is it? What do you want to be known for? You know, I can honestly say there's plenty of moments in my life that my sinful nature takes over and I want to be known for other things other than being a disciple of Jesus. But when I'm in sync with God, when I'm seeking Him and I'm abiding in Him and allowing Him to work in my heart and that kind of thing, I suddenly realize the most important thing that I could ever be known for is a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ. That is the most important thing that I could ever be known for. And Jesus says right here, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if, I love that Jesus uses an if you have love for one another. So there's the catch. You know, we're not just called to love one another. I mean, this is a part of like how people view us if they see us as somebody who actually follows Christ. Now, let's just face it, loving people sometimes can be hard. But there's a beautiful thing that happens, and it comes in the power of God. The power of God is amazing. I think we can all agree that the power of God is unbelievable, that He created everything, that we can walk outside right now, we can see blue skies, and how thankful we are that we have the sun out today. Amen? Right? Yeah. That'll get an amen when nothing else will today, after these last few months. And you know, we're excited about that. We're so thankful for that. And we look at that and go, that's amazing. There's a ball of fire in the sky, you know, that's this amazing thing. God created that. Let me tell you something even more powerful than that. God's love is more powerful than that. And here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna walk through a passage of scripture for a few minutes this morning. I'm just telling you, it's gonna challenge you, and it may mess you up before you leave. Okay, so just get ready. Just your hearts be open to whatever God wants to speak to you about through His Word. I'm just gonna tell you, you're gonna see how God's love transforms people's lives. And you may be sitting here today and you may go, you know, I'm just church shopping, or I don't even know if I believe in Jesus or whatever, or I've been to church for a million years. I don't care what it is. I'm just here to tell you today, God wants to transform your life. He wants to work on your heart. He wants to take it and He wants to make it like His. And yeah, we're sinners and we struggle and all that kind of stuff. God makes up the difference. He is enough, okay? So here's what we're going to do. Before we get there, I think it, just to kind of, you know, think it's worth noting that, you know, for a lot of us, we struggle with loving people. There's a lot of Christians, a lot of people that say that they love Jesus, but they walk around, they don't walk around like they love Jesus. They walk around like Eeyore. You remember Eeyore? Oh, bother, you know? I mean, their life is an oh, bother, you know? And I'm like, why bother, you know? And they become like somebody that I have seen on the interwebs, if you will. If you have not seen this individual on the internet, then you apparently are missing the internet, because this is actually kind of old school at this point. We're kind of behind the times. But I want to introduce you to my friend, the Grumpy Cat. And this was one of Aaron's favorite Grumpy Cat little deals here. It was back at Christmas time, was dashing through the, no, you know. And I remember like Aaron seeing this on my computer while we were laying in bed or something one night, and she was losing her mind. She thought this was the funniest thing she'd ever seen, you know, and it's pretty funny. And it's, then here's another one, just straight up, no, you know, and you can see why Grumpy Cat is called Grumpy Cat. I mean, cat looks pretty grumpy, right? But it, honestly, the cat doesn't look much different than a lot of people that I run into. I mean, let's just face it. And you know them too. Oh, and in here, yeah, this is a good one. Goes to McDonald's, orders unhappy meal. You know, this is the life. And here's the thing, like, it's so funny, but the truth is like, this is so many people. And sometimes this is us. I mean, this is me. Sometimes, like, some days that, like, just because things aren't going my way or whatever it is, that I find myself like being all grumpy cat. And the truth is that even on our worst days, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of the worst things in this life, we can have joy in Christ Jesus. It's I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm not just saying that because it sounds good. I'm telling you that Jesus, that our salvation, that's where our joy comes from. Not in things from here. Not in our health, not in anything else can our joy come from. You know why? Because all of those things will fail us. You know what won't? Salvation in Jesus will never fail us. And that's hard. I know it's hard to remember. It's hard for me to remember. We all get grumpy cat. The truth is we all need to kind of be a little more relaxed and easygoing like this cat. I got a video of this cat, and it's very appropriate since it's the Olympics. Tom, this is, of course, in Torino here.
Hey, John, I just met with the American men's team.
It's a new Olympic sport.
Pete Fenson said that they just wanted to be here to support the girls. They know that this is a crucial game, and you'll be impressed. You know, the guys were even participating with all the chants.
And the United States has got a little bit of a dilemma here because there is a double opportunity for the Danish team on the left-hand side on the two American rocks.
Best part right here.
Beautiful shot.
If you don't think that's funny, something's wrong with you. I'm just telling you. That's messed up, isn't it? We need to be a little more relaxed like that cat. That cat's just floating through life, knocking other cats out of the circle. It's just happy. It's just hanging out, right? I just needed an excuse to use that video. I'll just admit it. You know, it's just, I knew it would make you laugh. And then, you know what? And that's a good thing. Because sometimes we need to just laugh. Sometimes we need to remember that this life really is something. It's a gift. What Christ has done, what God has done through Jesus, His Son, is a gift. And it's an amazing thing for us to remember. And it's so easy for us to end up in dashing through the no, you know? And God doesn't want us to live in that. That's not what He's called us to. Paul wrote the entire book of Philippians from prison. Hello, prison. And the book is known as the book of joy. He talks about rejoicing in the Lord always. In fact, believe it or not, when I was looking up those pictures last night, there is a grumpy cat picture with Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, on it, on the internet. You can go find it. You know, but it's so true for us that we can rest in that. We can live in that. Go to 1 John chapter 4. If you need help there, it's at the end of the Bible, right before Jude, Revelation. You got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We're going to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to walk through some verses here together that I think that can really help us to have a better understanding of how God's love works in us. And I want you to hear that. I'm going to say it again. We're going to have a better understanding of how God's love works in us. Okay? In us. God does a work in us with his love, which I'll remind you is more powerful than the sun. Okay? Right? So we got that to work with. All right. 1 John 4, verse 7, it says this. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So if we stop right here and we just look at this for a second. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So there's a question, I mean, right off the bat that you have to ask yourself, and that is, do you know God? And I did not ask, have you gone to church all your life? I didn't ask, have you been a good person? I didn't ask, have you always thought God existed? Scripture never once leads us to an understanding that anyone ever has just always known Jesus. There comes a point in your life where the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and no, it may not be some audible voice, okay? So don't read too much into this, but you know that God is pulling you and trying to draw you near to him and saying, look, you need me. I want to save you. See, here's what happened. Way back in the beginning of it all, we had Adam and Eve. And they fell into sin. And the truth is that the way they fell into sin is actually the same sin that that we all commit every time we sin. It's really this, you know, kind of in a nutshell sin. You know, Satan comes along to Adam and Eve. In the first service, I had like Jeremy Harris sitting down here going, you know, yeah, the woman did it, you know, and all this stuff. Well, Satan comes along and he tempts Eve, and Eve, of course, falls for it. And then, you know, she shares with Adam, of course, he falls for it. So they're both, you know, idiots. And the truth is we all are, and it's this perfect picture that we're all sinners. And so sin comes into the world, you know, but the idea with what they bought into, because, you know, God gave them the Garden of Eden, said, hey, you guys party in the garden. You guys are ready to go. Just stay away from the one tree. You know, you think it'd be so simple, right? But if you go back and you study, and you look at what Satan tempted them with. Basically, Satan tempted them with the thought and the idea that they could be like God if they would eat of the tree. And that he was keeping this from them, you know, kind of deal. And the truth is we do the same thing whenever we sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is. In our minds, and we may not be thinking this way right in the moment, but the truth is every time we sin, what we're doing is we're saying, I think I know better than God. I'm going to be God right now, and I'm going to elevate myself above him because I think I know better than he does. And so when we choose sin, we're doing the same thing. Like, well, to go along with that, God is a just God. He's from the very beginning, there's been an understanding that sin would be a consequence, and the consequence would be death. And so God could have just wiped us all out and said, well, they're just a bunch of sinners. I'm just going to wipe them all out. There'd be nothing. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. In fact, he began from the very beginning making a promise that there would be, if you look through the Old Testament, you study the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament is pointing toward the Messiah coming, toward Jesus coming. If you look at the New Testament, the entire New Testament is pointing back at Jesus has come. And for us to understand what God did is basically God made a way. He sent his son, who was God, but he sent him to be man. And because he was God, he could be perfect. And because he was perfect, he could live a perfect life, making him the perfect and only possible sacrifice for our sin. Jesus gave his life on the cross and took the death that we deserved for our sin, all the while, like Carol said, as if we had never sinned against him. Think about that. Let me just tell you something. Christians, let me tell you something. We're bad about beating the junk out of ourselves sometimes, about our life and how it's not going this way or not going, and it's so probably displeasing to God and all these things. And look, I'm not saying we're not for conviction here. We are, okay? But I want to encourage you in a way, because I think sometimes we beat ourselves up a little too much in the sake of, like, we make it out, and this is what I'm afraid of, is that people make it out to be like Jesus is frowning at us and God is, you know, angry at us and all this stuff. And the truth is when God sees us, if we have trusted in Jesus, if we've believed in him to be our Savior, to be the Lord of our lives, when God sees us, he sees Jesus. And when Jesus sees us, he sees his love. He sees grace. He sees mercy. So it's such a huge deal that the power of God's love is this amazing transformational thing. And we're going to see that as we walk through this passage here in just a second. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. I think for us to recognize God has called us to be disciples. He's also called us to make disciples. But for us to even be a part of that kind of stuff, we've got to first be a disciple, you know? And Jesus said back in the passage in the book of John, you know, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So obviously this is a huge deal to Jesus, okay? It's a huge, huge honking deal to Jesus that we love one another. I mean, so big that, like, we don't just see Jesus, like, spend his ministry, like, every once in a while talking about loving one another. We don't see him, like, every once in a while mentioning serving one another. We see Jesus spend his whole life, his whole ministry, doing nothing but serving people. I mean, nothing but. Nothing but. I sat down. Some of us had gone, helped one of the guys in church yesterday load a truck, and it's always fun loading trucks on trailers and don't run and stuff like that. And we went and did that and had a blast. And then it was getting kind of later in the afternoon. I finally get home and I do a couple things around the house I need to do. And then I hadn't had lunch, and I had Buffalo Wild Wings leftovers, and they're the best leftovers if you didn't know. I've got the oven heated up, and I'm heating them up because I want them like I get them, you know, from the restaurant. No microwave stuff here, okay? And so we get them heated up, and I sit down. And then the phone rings. Aaron's phone rings, and she starts talking to somebody. It's one of the girls here at church. And she starts talking about, you know, apparently she's got a flat tire and she's just up the street and all this kind of stuff. And I had just put the ketchup on my plate. I don't think you understand. It's 2:30 in the afternoon, and I have not eaten anything all day. And there is ketchup and hot wings and onion rings on my plate. You know, and I'm thinking, I am about to eat this, and now this woman is on the phone with my wife wanting me to come help her change a flat tire. And she's just, oh yeah, he'll come and help you. He'll be there in just a minute. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, what? I will what? I was like, and I'll be honest with you, I wanted to eat my hot wings and leave her on the side of the road. I mean, that's just where my heart was, because I was hungry. Here's the deal. Jesus has never felt that way toward us. And I think that we put him there in our minds, and that's not who Jesus is. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying I think we beat ourselves up sometimes in this whole, like, you know, I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to conviction. We need to listen to conviction. You know, that's God speaking to our hearts over sin, and we know in our heart, and, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. But I want to say to you, if you're a believer, don't make Jesus into be some bad guy that's chasing you down if you're not following him and doing. The deal is we run away and he's just sitting there waiting usually most of the time. And he's always waiting. It doesn't matter how far you run or how far you go away. I mean, he's still there. He still loves you. The grace and the mercy is still the same. What he did on the cross was as good for yesterday as it is for tomorrow. I won't tell you. Verse 8 says this. Verse 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Anyone without love doesn't know God. So, I mean, maybe a question for you to ask yourself is, do I love people? I mean, like, it's such a huge deal. Jesus spent his entire ministry talking about it. I mean, and I know that most of us as Christians, we like the thought of Jesus. We like the thought of him saving us. We like the thought of eternal, party hard with Jesus all the time type stuff. We like all that. That we love all that. That's awesome and that's good. And it, but there's a deal here. And the deal is this, is that he saved us and he transformed us with his powerful love. And he has also called us to allow that same love to work through us to love others. And the truth is, there's a part there on our part where we're supposed to follow Jesus. And so the question goes, do I love people? And the truth is, we all struggle with this at some time in life, you know. And sometimes we don't want to love anybody. And sometimes we're like, well, I love these people, but I don't want to love those people. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Basically, you know, if we know Christ, then that powerful love lives within us, and God wants us to use it to love others. And if we don't love others, there's a chance that we don't know God. Now, I'm not trying to cause people that know Jesus to question their faith, but I will say, if you're not sure if you know Christ or not, if you're hanging your hat on the, well, I've just always believed in Jesus, or I always went to church, my granddaddy was a preacher, you know, what I've heard, you know, 10,000 different ways, forget it. Forget it. Don't hang your hat on anything other than trusting in Christ to save you, in believing in what he did in the cross, on the cross and in the resurrection. That's where salvation comes from. And my friends, let me remind you, salvation is where our joy comes from, not anything here. Verse 9 says this, it says, in this, the love of God, check this out, was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is an amazing verse, by the way. This verse shows, this is an understanding of God sent Jesus, made him manifest, put him on display, if you will, in front of us so that we could see what love really looked like. Don't you love it when you get something and you've got to put it together and you can't figure out how it goes together? You know? And guys, let's just be honest. We are not going to look at the directions. We can figure this thing out. And if there's extra parts left over, we can throw them in a drawer and use them for something later. But if there are not directions, if there's not directions, we're allowed to be angry about that too, right? Because that's a principle thing. Well, it should have come with the directions. I don't know what we're supposed to do. Well, if it doesn't work, that's fine. It didn't come with directions. That's their fault. You know, you can take it back, honey. We don't have to wonder what love looks like. We don't have to wonder what it looks like. We know what it looks like because God sent his Son and put it on display for us, made it manifest right in front of us, that we could have all this in Scripture to know exactly what God's love looks like. And not only that, it says this, it says that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Folks, what I just read might be one of the things that you chain yourself up with, that I chain myself up with more than any other thing when it comes to trying to follow Jesus. And that's that we make it about us. We make it about us. We're selfish people. It's just what we do. We're sinners. And what God is saying in this, I'm going to read it again. Verse 9. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. God didn't say, all right, boy, you go out there and you give them your best. And you give them 110%. You know? Remember the little league coach that did that for you? God didn't do that. He said, man, that kid's got it going on right there. He's ready to go to the potty. Sorry, it's my head. God said, so that we might live through him. He came and put him on display so that we might live through him. That's saying we don't do this on our own. In fact, the truth is if you've been a Christian for any length of time, at this point in your journey, you know by now you can't do this on your own. You know why? Because you're a sinner and you'll jack it up. And even your best attempt at love, you know, like the temptation is to hear a message like this and go, well, you know, I know people I need to love right now. I need to go do that. I'm going to go love them. I'm going to make me a list this week. And I'm going to have me, like, all these people I'm going to love on this week. You know, if God's putting them on your heart and he's leading you to do that, that's fine. But if we're not careful, what we do is we just get legalistic about it. And we just made up, like, well, I am going to do this. And we took God out of the equation. Now, our heart is in the right place. Like, our intention is good. But the truth is God saying, no. Your love is jacked up. Right? Right? Your love is jacked up. My love is jacked up. Like one day we love you, one day we don't. Now, let's just be honest. We're sinners. The love of Jesus changes people's lives. And so for us to live through him and allowing him to live through us is an amazing thing. Think about it like this. Power of the Son. Yeah, see, I'm doing the sun thing today. I'm doing everything I can to not do the Harry Carey, like, my favorite planet is the sun thing, okay? God, his power, his love is more powerful than the sun. For us to be able to say that we could allow that power to come through us, that type of love to come through us, our love can't match that. Our love doesn't even come close to that. In fact, if we love like Christ loved us, then that means that we love people like they've never sinned against us. Wow. Yo. That just got personal for a whole bunch of folks, right? Like, you're going, well, wait just a second. You're telling me I'm supposed to love people like they have never sinned against me? Jesus is saying, if you love like I do, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him is an understanding that God wants Christ to be where we abide, but also for him to live through us. You know, when I make the statement, and we say this a lot around 24, that we're called to be Jesus to people. We're called to be Jesus to that person. Or I try to do this when I'm in situations and my head's going toward, like, I want to eat buffalo wings and leave you on the side of the road. You know, I have to ask myself the question, or I try to, I'm not always good at it, but I try to ask myself the question, how can I be Jesus to this person right now? Like, where's the grace? Where's the mercy? I know I'm busy. I got 10,000 things to do, but what's God calling me to do? What would Jesus do right now? Kind of thing. And that helps kind of weed a lot of the stuff out. It also makes me realize how unimportant so many things in my life are that I think are so important in the time and place that it's happening. Verse 10 says this. It says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You're like, what does that mean? That God sent Jesus to be the ransom for our sins. That Jesus stood in front of the judge and said, I'll take their death. I'll take it. Let them go free. But the first part of verse 10 says this, says, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You see, we can't save ourselves. We need him to save us. And the truth is that we can't love with his love without him. So somebody that doesn't know Christ, they can love people. But they can't love people with God's love. Because God's love comes from knowing Christ. God's love comes from trusting in him. And it comes because he first loved us. Does that make sense? Like, we can love with God's love because he first loved us. It's changed us. It's transformed us. In fact, if you don't believe me, we'll keep reading. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And then in verse 12, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Verse 12 is amazing. "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." You see what it's saying? It's showing us that where we think that loving people is like a pretty important thing on the priority list in our life. You may have come in here and you've been like, "Yeah, loving people pretty important in my life. You know, I'd say it's like right about here somewhere. You know, it's up there. You know, but if you're like me, like, I spend time reading this passage of scripture and it becomes evident to me that it was so important to God, so important to Jesus and the way that he lived his life, that the priority of this is really like here. And like most of us, like we want it to be like right here. Like, we're thinking, you know, "Well, I want to be a good person. I want to like people to like me. I want people to, you know, love them." And then, you know, and the truth is this is our calling. Did you hear me? I said the magic word. Everybody wants to know what their calling is. Our calling is to know God and love others. It was so important to Jesus, he spent his whole ministry on it. He didn't just mention it. He didn't just do it one time. He spent the whole time loving people. Knuckleheads most of the time, you know. And he says this: if we love one another, read it. If we love one another, God abides in us. And his love, again, the most powerful thing maybe ever to exist, other than God himself, that he abides in us and his love is perfected in us. God changes us when we live this out. If you've ever gone and you've ever allowed God to love somebody through you, if you've ever allowed God to work through you in this way, you understand this. You know that it is life-changing when God gets to do that, when we allow him to do that. Here's the deal. God doesn't need us, but he wants us to get to be a part of the process. He wants us to be a part of the game. He says, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. He changes us. Completely changes us. I'll share this passage with you that I've shared many times here before. And it's where love God, love people comes from. And it's Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, 28. And a couple guys go to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, tell me the most important thing. What's the greatest thing? The greatest commandment? What's the thing that we don't ever need to miss it? Like, give it to us, Jesus. What is it?" Verse 28 says this. It says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, The Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Guy asks one question. Give me one. Give me the greatest one, Jesus, Son of God. Give me the greatest one. What is it? And Jesus says, love God with everything. Heart, soul, mind, strength, everything. Love God. I added an and. There's no and. Jesus keeps going. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He asked for one thing. Jesus keeps going. It's so important to Jesus that when he taught this, that he taught that not only were we supposed to love God, that we were to love one another. And here's the truth. And it's taken me years to figure it out. But when I love God, when I'm in sync with him and I'm really seeking him and I'm letting him work in my heart and change me and make me more like him, you know what automatically happens? I care. I love people because I see them as God's creation. I see in moments people that I've struggled to love at some point in my life, and I see them and I go, Jesus died for them on the cross. He wants them to follow him. He wants to save them. He wants to change their lives. They're not an enemy. They are somebody that he loves. And I love them too. If we love God, we will love people. It's pretty simple. So, I think for us this morning, I think it's important for us to recognize God didn't call us to do this alone. And he's saying, look, let Christ live in you. And let him live through you. And allow my powerful, more powerful than anything, horsepower to the millionth power, let it live through you. And let it love others, that they too might be changed for the kingdom of God. This is challenging for all of us. It's hard. It's hard for us to follow this on a daily basis. I mean, it's great for us to hear, and we're like, man, I'm challenged with that. I'm challenged with it. And I'm going, you know what? I need to be better at loving people. And the temptation is, like I said earlier, that I'm just going to go out and I'm just going to love people better. Don't let that be the temptation. How about this? Let me help you out here. And it's something I have to preach to myself. Let's love God. If we love him, if we seek him, if we build our relationship with him, he will change our hearts. The power of his love is way more powerful than anything that we'll ever attain. And it's in that that God will change us to make us more like him, and we will begin to love others with his power and his love and not our jacked up, halfway good, sometimes bad others love, you know? Last week we got to baptize one of the ladies at church, and she shared her story, and in fact, if you weren't able to be here last week, we have a video of that, and that floated the web some earlier this week. And we just want to make it where you can watch it if you want to see it. After the service is over, when we dismiss, we'll play that. If you haven't seen it and you want to see it, fine. If you need to go get kids or need to go, that's fine too. We purposely done it that way where you can see it. We just want everybody to get to be a part of what we got to experience last week. But one of the most earth-shattering things that I felt like in spending time with Teresa and her sharing her story with Christ, she told me about one night in an emergency room, and she, if I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but she's dying of cancer, and in this emergency room, she told me that she found herself just kind of alone for a minute, and she said that in that moment, she realized that she couldn't be alone. And she couldn't do it alone. And she needed God. She needed Jesus. It's at that moment in our lives when we recognize, I need Jesus. I can't do this alone. That's when God begins to speak to our heart. And maybe you're there. Maybe that's where you are this morning. And if it is, I just want to encourage you. Listen. Listen to God speak in your heart. We'll be here after the services are over with. We're here during the week. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, whatever we can do to minister to you. We want to help you answer those questions. But the last thing that you ever need to do is wonder whether or not you know Jesus or not. And have question about that. Because if you have question about it, there's no reason to have question about that. God sent his son to die for anyone that would believe in him. Anybody that would trust in him, believe in what he did on the cross, believe that he would defeat death on our behalf. It's free. All you got to do is believe. Allow God to do a great work in your life. Allow him to change you with the most powerful thing to ever exist on earth, which is his love. Let's pray together.